Good morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. Wanted to say a massive thank you to the ladies who got together this morning and prepared it was a breakfast fit for a king this morning, man. Just all kinds of food out there. And I've heard some reports that Sunday school classes may not have been as active because of the food that was consumed, but we'll deal with that. So I'm super thankful for those ladies for doing that for us. If you'll take a look there at your announcements, a couple things there. Now this is, don't let today's announcements fool you. This is the lull between our two busy seasons here at DBC. VBS is rapidly approaching. So don't think the shortage of announcements today is an indication of some. We got a lot of big things coming up very soon, right? So you see there, VBS is approaching the 27th through the 1st. That's always a pretty active part in our church. We also have Dining with Dignity. That's the first thing you see there. That's next Saturday. Anyone who wants to participate along with the team is always welcome. We can always use more hands or better than less hands. But maybe you can't make the trip to Lex Vegas. That's what I call it, to Lexington. If you can't make the trip, that's a joke. You guys can laugh. It's okay. It's okay. Everyone's like, am I supposed to laugh at that? It's okay. Or you may not think it's funny. It's okay, too. But if you can't make the trip up there with us, there is an opportunity for you to make brownies. And so we see that this is the call out to make brownies, to get with that. The Faith to Stand event is the 26th. That's where all the churches come together at the fairgrounds. Our one and very own Brad is going to be sharing his testimony there. I encourage you all to come out and share that, or to share in that with Brad. But I also encourage you this, is to pray for Brad. That's a big thing, man. That's a big group of people, and I know Brad is chasing after the Lord, but transparency can be difficult at times, and that's as transparent as you can get up there doing that. So pray for Brad in that, and come out and support him. It's going to be a great time. You'll also see the Owen County Project Christmas, that we're doing that a little bit different this year. We do now, thanks to Mandy. We have a tub out there. You can see what we're collecting this month is socks and undergarments. That's what we're collecting. You see that right there. And so if you feel so led, we will be collecting that. We have a special thing this morning. Martha's going to come and share something with us this morning. There she is.
Well, I've never given my testimony before, but I wanted to tell you something that I had a booklet this week, and my daily devotional was about Juneteenth. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's on a Sunday, because I've been reading about it, and I've been trying to learn about it. I'm from a white middle-class town. That had no African Americans, and now I live in another small middle-class white town, and part of the Juneteenth that the African Americans believe is that it's about self-assessment and education, and I'm trying to do that, and I'm trying to learn because I think it's my responsibility to do that. So I just want to call our attention that today is also, besides Father's Day, Juneteenth. And as most of you know from history, that President Lincoln emancipated the slaves on January the 1st, 1863, at least the slaves that were in the states that had left the Union. But word didn't get to Texas. That's sort of out there on the frontier. And some people believe that they kept it from the black people in Texas. There weren't very many Union troops there. Of course, you know, they didn't have the internet and everything that we did. So some of the slaveholders actually moved their slaves out to Texas, it is said. And they had their slave labor for 2.5 more years after the rest of the people had been set free. On June the 19th, 1865, the Union Army finally arrived in Galveston, and Major Gordon General issued General Order Number 3, which told them that, you know, slavery was over and they were free. I think we can only imagine this. I mean, I was thinking about, I mean, we pray for freedom for the Ukrainians today, don't we? There's always oppression somewhere. And if that war were to end and they were to be freed of the Russians, that would be a cause for celebration for them. And of course, I've also studied about, you know, the church was an important part of the black community. As one author says, they found a way out of no way, basically, and God saw them through that. And their music reflected that. And the very spiritual people, or they never would have survived all those years of slavery. And so I was thinking, and I've talked to Michael about it this week, I kind of see Juneteenth as like Thanksgiving. Maybe it's not technically a church holiday, a religious holiday, but it is. The underpinnings of it, because we are all oppressed with sin, and they realized that too. They called it, when it first happened, of course, they were singing and dancing, and they called it Jubilation Day, because they likened it back to Leviticus 8 through 11, which I want to read that to you. It says, count off 7 Sabbath years, seven times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. And they were, in this order number 3, they were implored to stay in their homes where they were, and that the relationship would become a boss and an employer and employee. But a lot of them left. You know, a lot of them, just like this in ancient Egypt, a lot of them went looking for their families, because we know from studying history they were separated from their families. What a tragedy that was. And so they also, another Bible passage that was important to them is from the New Testament. Well, it's from the Old and the New Testament. It's when Jesus gave it's from Luke 4:16-21. He's in the synagogue teaching, and he gives the prophecy of Isaiah, one of those many times where it's very direct. This is what God said was going to happen, and before your very eyes, we're seeing it happen. And it says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So what I've been praying about this week and contemplating is, you know, this isn't just a holiday for African Americans. It's for those of us in Wheatley. If we are Christians, we are for the oppressed. We are supposed to be for the oppressed. And I think we need to take that seriously and stand up for those people. I have a lot to learn about this. I admit that. And I don't always say or do the right things, but I want to be a truth teller. And I want to stand for what God wants us to do. And one author that I read said, when any group is set free, everyone is freer. So I think there's something in this for all of us, and that we should recognize this day, Juneteenth.
Thank you, Martha. We appreciate that reminder of another thing that's celebrated today. But one of the things that I wanted to celebrate today is Father's Day. And just as we do the same on Mother's Day, this is not just for fathers. This is for the men in our lives. That's why we had the breakfast this morning. Lucy gave an amazing prayer and something she said in there that I wanted to speak about just a minute. And don't worry, guys, we have a gift for you. That I wanted to say is that this the positive effect that men, different men, have had upon our lives. My battery may have went dead. I've had wonderful men in my life that have spoken truth to me. I have men sitting here in this church right now. Don being one of them. Don is with us this morning that has spoken a lot of truth into my life and has taught me many things. And what I encourage you to do today is to be thankful for all the men in your lives and the truth that they displayed. What we would most perfectly like for them to display is what the relationship looks like for a heavenly Father, right? I also understand anytime you have a celebration of fathers, there will be some people who have not experienced that. And that is unfortunate, and you know, we're not happy about that. But what I would encourage people to understand is that maybe an earthly father, that bond has been strained. But I would encourage you to seek out other men in your life, but also to understand the relationship between you and a heavenly Father is perfect and right. And that's what we should really be thankful and appreciative of today. All right, enough of me talking. Now on to the gift. Melissa made these, so I'll have Molly and a couple other people. Come on up, Grayson, come on up. Help hand these out. These are supposed to, if I didn't have a huge beard, this would be more effective, but these are supposed to look like bow ties. And so what they say is, you're terrific, Dallasburg Baptist Church. And so we'll have all the guys stand up that are here today. Hey, just go ahead and take off, Grayson. Yeah, you go. Grayson making it hard. He's just holding it up. That's one way to do it. There should be plenty. And, you know, we're just really appreciative of all the hard work, all the effort that's put into that. Don't forget Don there, Molly. Yeah, there's choices, but we're not going to talk about the choices. Just take what you get. If you did trade with somebody. If you don't like what you got, just trade with the guy behind you. I don't know. It's way too complicated. All right, we'll make sure everybody gets one. Everybody. All right. Brad, will you pray for our men? Thank you.
Let us stand this morning as we worship our Lord, and let us praise the wonderful name that is the name of Jesus. His name, for he had such a deep love for us that he gave his only son for us. Let us continue praising our Lord this morning.
Which mar the
Verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. And his most mighty work was the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have a living hope this morning and for the rest of eternity. So let us sing of that beautiful living hope. Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. So great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the
that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence,
our living hope, and in Christ alone do we have that hope forever and ever. So let us sing of that wonderful hope alone in Christ.
Commands my destiny.
be seated.
Psalms 105, 3 through 4. The glory in his name, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts who of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord's and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day and thank you for the mercy and grace you continue to pour out on us each day. Thank you, Father, for the freedom we have to gather here this morning. And once again, I thank you for each father here and pray that you continue to bless us and that we will be the godly fathers that you have us be in the days to come. I ask you to be with Michael this morning, that he brings his word, that it might be something we can share with others this week. Thank you for this time we give you back what you so richly bless us with. And pray to be used for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning again. It's good to see you, everyone, again. I just want to recap what Grayson reminded me of real quick this morning. He's like, hey, there's no children's church, Michael. Let's wrap this up. Let's get this going. All right. He said that laughingly. I know he probably does mean it a little bit. But another thing I wanted to say is that hopefully you all saw the new guitar. I mean, we'll be doing dollar pictures after the service if you want to get your picture made with it. Only $1, and you can take that home. No, very thankful for everyone in giving of that, and it sounded great, Raphael. Thank you so much. The piano sounded great, too, Crystal. It sounded great. It always sounds great. We gather here this morning to continue our study in 1 Peter. We'll be at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, and you know, I'm doing something a little different today. Historically, we would kind of pause our sermon series and we would give a topical discussion on, since today's Father's Day, we would do a topical discussion on fathers. But I didn't want to do that. And the main reason I didn't want to do that is I prayed about it this week and I thought about it this week. And we can definitely discuss some of some father's characteristics in today's message. But also this is that, man, I've been so appreciative of you all as a church is that the last several Sundays together have been really difficult messages, and you guys have taken them in stride. I have had more people in the last couple weeks come up to me and thank me for God's word than we have before. But what that all says is that Peter kind of brings that to a culmination today, and we have a very, very positive word from the Lord today. And I thought that you guys would do that. After several weeks of some really hard looking deep into your sin nature to focus on something positive. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. I don't think there's anyone here with us this morning that doesn't enjoy when we get to any part of Scripture that talks about love. And that's what Peter is talking about here. Let me read this for us, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump into some discussion. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. God's word says this: having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much again for giving us this time together. We're thankful for our time that we had in our small group studies to grow deeper in our understanding of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit means for us, how it confirms and it assures us of a relationship with you. Lord, we're just thankful for that time this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the time that we've had this morning in worship of singing songs of praise to you. Just thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that as we come here right now, we can set aside the distractions of the world, take a deeper look at your word, and have us gain a better understanding of what this means for us in our relationship with you, and then how do we take this and apply it to our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Wesley, I heard your name in the middle of that prayer. Somebody was calling on you, Wesley. All right. That's all right. So what are we looking at today? We're talking about loving. And remember, understand, right, that 1 Peter is written in the context of six churches that are dealing with massive amounts of persecution. Persecution on the level that you and I would have a difficult time in really understanding this level of persecution. Now, again, that's not to say you are not persecuted, because I personally do believe in 2022, as a Christian, you are suffering persecutions, right? From entities that feel different than you, entities that believe that you believe in Christ is wrong. So you are being persecuted, but this level of persecution is massive. And what is Peter instructing the churches, these six churches, what is he instructing them to do? Well, the first thing he's telling them is they need to continue to love. Now, one of the things that's interesting about that may be the exact opposite thing that you want to do, right? I can't speak for you all. I can speak for me. Oftentimes when I'm being mistreated, my first sinful desire is to what? Get even. I saw some heads nodding over here. This is the get even group over here. Everybody's like, yeah, I know what's coming next, right? Is we have that desire to want to get even. We want to get our pound of flesh, as Shakespeare says, right? Right? That is exactly not what Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying. He says that is not what you do. What he's telling them to do is to double and triple down and love even more, right? And so one of the things when we talk about love in Scripture, this is where our English kind of falls a little bit short, because love has many facets in the Greek, right? And so the type of love we're going to be talking about today is what we would call a philia love. Right? Anyone here ever been to Philadelphia? Anyone? No? No one wants to admit it? Okay. Well, Philadelphia is named after that. That's why it's called the city of brotherly love, because this type of love, philia, is the type of love that you would have for a brother or a sister. Now, you have to be careful, like in my house, when I talk about the love for a brother and sister, or sometimes sisters don't show as much love as they should to one another. But what we understand is this is a family type of love, right? This is a very forgiving love. I can, you know, just to use another analogy of my kids is we used to do a lot of wrestling, right? And, you know, that's not like wrestling. This is like wrestling. Like, we just wrestle, right? That's what we used to do. And one time I had Meredith down, and Meredith and Molly sometimes don't get along like sisters do. And at that point, Molly thought I was really hurting Meredith, and it was like I had a wildcat on me. Molly jumped in on me, and she was clawing and biting. I was like, get this thing off of me. What's going on? Right? And what it had understood is that type of sisterly love came out because she was there to defend and stick up for her sister. Maybe they're not as kind as they should be in their words to one another, but that's the type of love we're talking about here. And this is the type of love that Peter is saying we need to be showing to not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to others. And so this is where I love the way Christ does this. It's challenging, but it always is good for me to hear is that whenever you think you've reached a certain level, Christ takes it and just turns it up a little bit more. Because not only are we supposed to show this kind of love to one another, right? Business meetings, disagreements, right? Michael loses something. That happens a lot. Michael loses, temporarily misplaces it. Loses something and we can't find it, right? We're supposed to be kind to one another, but we're also supposed to be kind to those who are hating us. And so hear this, and this, you talking about a hard message. You've been completely ran out of your house. You've left your home, and all you have was what was on your back and what you could pack in a, probably a small sack. That's all you've got left. But now Peter is now writing this letter to you, telling you, hey, also, you're supposed to love the people who are persecuting you. You're talking about hard, man. It's very difficult, right? But why are we to do this? Right? Well, there's three reasons, right? And those are the three points you have there. The first one is this. The reason we're to do this is because of purity. Verse 22 tells us this. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So how are we made pure? What does that mean, right? We are made pure because of a relationship with Christ purifies our souls. We no longer are carrying the weight and the condemnation of our sins. One of the things that we have to always talk about when we say this and we talk about being justified and redeemed and purified, and then people are very quick to say, well, but what about this morning? Or what about this afternoon? Or what about the other day when this guy cut me off in traffic and we had some intense fellowship with one another? I don't feel, that's coming for you, right? I don't feel completely purified. But the reality is you have been. Like, you are forgiven for those sins. You will continue to struggle with sin. You will continue to need to ask for forgiveness for sin. But ultimately, you have been forgiven for sin. That's why if you were with us this morning in your Sunday school class and it was talking about Paul writing in Romans is telling us you are no longer slaves to sin. But yet you have to put sin to death every day. You have to actively be doing something. You have to be intentional to not be chasing after the flesh and chasing after the world. But understand, the only way we can truly love someone is understanding what God has done for us. And by understanding what Christ accomplished for us on the cross, then out of that springs forth a love for others. Now, this is something I share this with people all the time, and I would encourage you to pray and think about this. If you want to, I'm not a medical doctor by any stretch of any imagination, am I a medical doctor? But if you want to take a spiritual check of your heart, how do you feel and act towards others that aren't super nice to you? Just think about that, right? Pray about that. I would encourage you to meditate on that. That will give you a pretty good indication of your spiritual heart condition right now. And I can share this with me about myself, right, of transparency. I'm by no means imperfect at this. by any stretch of the imagination. You guys have probably heard this in my testimony once before, is I used to work with a young lady who was difficult to work with, would probably be the nicest way to put it. She consistently tried to get me in trouble, would make things up. Sometimes she didn't have to make things up. Sometimes I did things that were wrong and was constantly trying to get me in trouble. And I found myself basically very hard-hearted toward this person. I didn't want to see him in the halls. I wasn't overly nice to him. I wasn't mean to him either, but I just decided I was not going to deal with that. Well, the Lord got a hold of me some more, and I understood, and I took another step in my sanctification, and I started praying for this person. And I will be the first to admit that first prayer was not very biblical. And I was like, shoo. I mean, it was really the first time I'd ever really done this, right? First time I'd ever really prayed for someone who I knew hated me. You've heard the old saying, I'm not sure they'd put water on me if I was on fire. I'm pretty sure that's how she felt about me, right? And so the first one was like, ooh, that's a tough one. Second one got better, second got better. And you know what happened in that? Did that person completely change and now we're BFFs? Absolutely not. That did not happen. But you know what changed? My heart and my attitude towards that person. I no longer avoided that person. I was very nice to that person. I was encouraging to that person. I went out of my way to be kind to that person, not because I was looking for an extra point in my evaluation or not because I was trying to impress anyone. That changed in me because God, of what God had done for me. And the indwelling of the Spirit gave me the strength to be able to do that. Right? And so I had to intentionally walk in that. That's what, church, what we need to understand too, is what Peter's telling us here, is that we need to be intentional in this. I know all of us sitting here this morning and all of us at home wish that the moment that you receive the Holy Spirit, now you have the indwelling of the Spirit, that everything just becomes easy and everything becomes loving and you have no problems with this. That is just not the truth. That is not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what any of us have seen in our lives as we walk the sanctification path. But as John tells us in 1 John, this is John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, what does that mean? That is those of us that are living in a right relationship with Christ, that we're in the light, as he is in the light, being Christ, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So what we need to understand of what Christ accomplished on our behalf, the amount of love that he showed us, understand this. God did not have to leave heaven to come to earth as a man to walk around and then go to the cross. He did not have to do that. He did that out of his love. Out of God's love for us, that happened. And as we grow and have a deeper understanding of that, the effect has to be on us for us to become a more loving people, a more caring people, a kinder people. This is the hard one, a more forgiving people, right? Love just simply isn't a four-letter love. It comes in many, many iterations. Forgiveness is a huge one. Grace is a huge one, and we should be doing that. And so, and I pray no one here this morning is struggling with this. I really pray this. But if anyone here is this morning and they're like, I'm not sure if I am a Christian, a really good way to check and find out, how are you doing on this? Are you just constantly mean and hateful and mad at the world and unforgiving and don't understand grace? Or are you working on it? If you're the latter, I would encourage you to pray hard. Because that's one of the things that Peter is saying here. John is even more clear about it. John's a little bit more to the point than Peter in his first epistle. It's basically he's saying either you're displaying this and you're in the light, or you're not displaying this and you're lost. And we don't want that. That's where our love has to come from, this purity, right? The second reason that we're able to show this love is because we have received a new birth. And you guys are thinking, didn't we do a whole hour sermon on this? Yes, we did. So I'm not going to spend another whole hour talking about this. But understand this. This is a very important mega theme in 1 Peter. also in 2 Peter 2, is the fact that you have been redeemed, you have been born again, you should be modeling these characteristics of Christ. Do we do them perfectly, Mike? Absolutely not. But we're trying. Don't worry, Jennifer, I'm not going to call on you. Right? So we're doing them. We're trying to get better in these things. We should have that desire. Now, one of the things that we see here when we discuss new birth, this is verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. You guys are experts on being born again. We spent a whole hour talking about that. But one of the things I want to drill in here a little bit is that Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is making a contrast here for us. He's making a contrast between perishable seed and imperishable seed. And the seed being God's word, right? So what would be, what's examples of perishable seed? That's the world. That's what the world offers us. That's what the world tries to encourage us to chase after, right? The world makes us want to be self-seeking. It makes us want to be jealous people. It makes us want to be arrogant people, envious, hateful, prideful. And you guys are thinking, I thought this was a positive message, Michael. It is a positive message, because if you're here this morning and you are believing in the imperishable word of God, guess what? That does not describe you. And you should say amen to that. It's amazing thing, because my guess is it is not very difficult for you to imagine someone whom you currently interact with that does act like that, that you also understand is living for the flesh. They are not in right relationship with Christ. And so this is one of the things, and Scripture talks about this quite often, is very clear for this as well. This is why Christians and non-Christians should look very different. Very, very different. I just heard someone this week, and it was about no one here at Dallasburg Baptist Church. If it was, I would probably come talk to you in private. But I had someone say something to me. I had no idea that person was a Christian. That's not good. We don't want that, right? We should not desire that. We should not hear that. And so one of the ways, and this is Peter's talking about this as well, when we're talking about the imperishable word of God, is how do we show this, right? How do we, how are we understanding of what God's word is for us? Is that our love of God's word should equal obedience. I would call on Simon. He's not paying any attention over there whatsoever. See, he doesn't even know I said his name, right? So that's what we have to understand, right? And this is what one of the things that Peter is clearly teaching us here is love of God results in obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to God's word and what it teaches us. One of the things that, and you just have to come to this understanding at some point. And I would be the first to say this on me. I was very fortunate. I spent a lot of time in church as a young person. But it took me a long time to understand the difference. When God gives us commands and instruction in God's word, he's not trying to rob you of joy. He's trying to protect you. And it took me a long time to make that connection, because as a kid, what are you being told all the time? Don't play with your toys. Don't run in church. Don't mess up your shirt. How did you spill that on you? I don't know. It was chocolate milk. I don't know how I got it on me, right? And so you're being told all these things. But the reality is, when God gives us these commands, it's because he loves you. And we need to understand that. And one of the things that, as we understand how appreciative we are of that, one of the most appreciable things in that is the imperishable seed that we see here that Peter's talking about, is God's word. And the power of God's word and what it means to us. One of the things that I will always beat this drum, and if you guys ever get tired of me beating this drum, then you know you can send me someplace else and I'll go someplace else. But it's this: you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be spending time in God's Word. We currently are working on a Bible study where we're reading through the Bible. I've got the feedback. Everyone's like, Michael, this one is too hardcore. We will be making adjustments to that next year. If you're behind on that reading plan, throw it away, man. Just throw it away. Throw it away. I want to encourage you, no matter how much you read, to be spending time with God daily in His Word. You will not, I wish I had a good analogy that would make you understand this and make a desire for this. All I can share for you is what it's done in my life. It's completely changed the way I view everything. It's completely changed it. And that's not because I've become smarter. You guys have spent time with me. You know that's not happening, right? What's changed in that is I have a deeper understanding of what God desires of me and what God teaches me. It's so valuable. Right? Let's take a look again. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is what John says in his epistle. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commands us. So we're talking about love equaling obedience. We're talking about spending time in God's Word. And we're talking about what God has commanded us. God has commanded us to do what? To love one another. Again, don't lose how shocking this would have been for these churches to hear. So we're in the worst condition of our lives. I feel very confident in saying that this is the worst condition this church, these six churches have ever been in. And Peter is telling them, I'm supposed to love even more now? Yes. And my guess is, I bet you all have experienced something of this in yourself. Something traumatic happens in your life, you've really got two options. I'm going to get to use another one of my favorite word again. You can either wallow around in your self-pity and feel sorry for yourself and be like, well, I'm a victim, the world's out to get me. Or you can do what? You can serve someone else. You can go out and you can focus on Christ and you can make some positive effects. Now, the thing that's amazing in that, and this doesn't make sense biologically or by any type of calculation, going out and doing an output of energy should make you feel worse. But the reality is, it will make you feel better. All because of what God's Word says right here is because as the Spirit is leading and guiding you, it gives you strength to be able to show this love and to go out and do that. And it's very clear it's what God is calling us to, right? I want to read you another one. This is the name of Brad's Sunday school class. This is where the scripture comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so as you enter into a right relationship with Christ, as you are giving a new birth, as you are redeemed, you are now a new creation. You should look radically different than what you looked like before. And one of the radical ways that you do this is by showing love. Love is an amazing thing. When I was reading, I came across an analogy about love. And this was, it was in France. And the policy of that village was that when someone was sentenced to an execution, at the ringing of the evening bell is when the execution would happen, right? So the guy had been found guilty. He's sitting there, firing squad. It's time for the bell to ring. No bell. Everyone looks around. They're like, where's the bell? The bell always rings every day, 6 o'clock. It's like clockwork. No kidding, right? And so they look up. His wife was inside the bell hanging on. If you don't know what a bell is, you know what a clapper is. It's the metal thing inside that strikes it. His wife was hanging on to the clapper. It's a massive bell, preventing it from slapping the side of the bell. They get her down. She's bruised, beat up, you know, just got all teeth, everything missing. And they're like, what are you doing? She says, I was up there because I loved my husband. And because of that, her and the husband was set free because the mayor of the town was so touched by their love. This is the kind of love as Christians we should be showing for one another. It's not just simply like, oh, I'll buy flowers for my husband or wife on this certain day. No, you should be sacrificially loving them every day. You should be trying to outserve your brothers and sisters in Christ every day. Right? That's why when it says you should look like a new creation, you should look radically different. That's what he's talking about there. So then we make kind of a right turn in Scripture, and you'll notice if you're looking at your Scripture, you'll notice the typeface looks a little different. It does that on purpose because now Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 and 8, I believe. And we dip into the little bit of the negative here, but there's also a positive in that. Let me read this for you. This begins in verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And you're like, why did Peter throw that in there? Like, we were all so positive. Like, we're riding this high on love. Like, we're loving. We're like just loving everybody. Like, why does he throw this in? He throws this in because you need a reminder. I need a reminder. The six churches need a reminder. Is that our flesh is very fragile. We are very fragile individuals. The truth is this. We think that I think the average is 72 years. We think 72 years lifespan is a long lifespan. It is nothing compared to God's eternity. Nothing. And so Peter is reminding us here. He's contrasting the frailty of us. Anybody in here got hurt this week? Yeah, a lot of us, right? A lot of us has stumped their toe, fallen on something. We're injured. We know someone who's suffering with something, right? We see the frailty of ourselves, but what Peter is doing is he's contrasting that with the permanency of God's word. And that's what Isaiah was doing too. You see that in verse 25. We talk about grass and flowers and how frail they are, right? Hay cutting season, right? The grass was just taller than me almost, and now it looks so neat when they put it in. I'm like, it looks so pretty right now, right? You see how fragile it was. It's gone. Same thing with you and I. But the thing that endures and lasts forever is God's word. And that's what we need to be holding on to. I just had this conversation this week with Melissa. She's in the nursery right now, or she would probably laugh at this point. But we were talking about how much effort and how much money. And this is not just women. So guys are like, oh, I'm getting a pass on this one. This is guys too. Lots of studies are showing this is affecting guys. How many billions of dollars are spent trying to look a little bit younger? I'm going to put a little wrinkle cream on. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to dress a little different. I'm going to wear something underneath this that makes it look a little different. Billions of dollars are being spent on something that God's word tells you doesn't matter. Now, is it wrong to moisturize? Probably not, right? I don't spend much time moisturizing myself, but I'm not saying it's sinful if you do, but what I'm saying, if you're chasing after that and that's all you care about is trying to retain some level of youthfulness, you need to come back and read this because you're chasing after the flesh. You're chasing after the world. You're not focusing on what remains and lasts forever, which is God's word. And that's the point Peter's trying to make. Peter is trying to tell them, man, we know this is hard. This persecution you're dealing with, it is very difficult. But church, that is temporary. Faith and belief in Christ, what you've been taught, and eternity in the presence of the Lord, that is eternal. So do these things matter? Absolutely. You have to address the right now. But this isn't your main focus. Your main focus is eternity. And that's what Peter is trying to teach them. That's what Peter's trying to teach us. And that's what you and I have to understand. Right? Verse 25, but the word of the Lord remains forever. There is nothing else on this side of glory that remains forever. Nothing. I don't care how much you shine it. I don't care how much you polish it. I don't care how well you maintain something. Multiple generations from now, it's going to be rust and dust. It is not going to be there. But the thing that will always be there is God. Right? And so what we need to understand here is that the power of what this is and the successfulness of what Satan gets us distracted and gets us distracted upon the world and chasing after these things and chasing after, was it retinol? Is that a brand or is that something that women, I see the commercial, retinol, thank you, Jamie, thank you for, right? Chasing after retinol, are guys going to get, you know, calf implants? Who gets calf implants? I don't know. But I read about that's a major surgery for guys is to get calf implants. I was like, they just need some more bacon in their lives is what they need, right? I give you a calf implant, right? And so they're chasing after these things of the world. It's not what God's word is telling us. God is clearly telling us we need to be chasing after him. And when we chase after him and understand what he did for us, we will then have no other option but to spring forth with this love for others. But when you're chasing after the world and you're self-serving yourself, you will not look like what we're describing here in God's word, and you will look like lost people look. You'll be envious, you'll be hateful, you'll be unforgiving, and you will just be unpleasant to be around. That is not what God desires for you. You should not be doing that, right? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement of your word. I thank you for the clarity that we see here in this discussion upon love and what you are calling the churches to do, and more importantly, what you're calling us to do. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities to grow in you. Lord, we're thankful for your word, as because of it, we can gain a deeper understanding of your love for us, manifested most perfectly in your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished on the cross for our behalf. Just an amazing understanding of that, Lord. Lord, I pray this for myself. I pray this for my church family, Lord, for us to always be searching our souls for the sins that are still there that we don't necessarily see, that are difficult to recognize. Lord, we just pray that we're always a loving, forgiving, kind people, that we look very different from the world. And because of that, Lord, many can come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let's stand and respond, and let us sing that we will follow Jesus until death.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Exciting today. I'm very thankful for the time that I've spent with you all this morning. It's amazing. And then I'm also thankful for Ann coming forward today. Raphael and I had a chance to meet with Ann Friday. We met with Ann. Great answers. just very biblically sound. I am over the moon confident in her decision. And I guess I should say what her decision is. Her decision is to come forward for baptism at Dallasburg Baptist Church. Yeah. See, I told everyone clap for you, Ann. I told you they would. Very good. You know, this is something that we need to understand, and this is for other people that are with us here today. Ann is like me. She's not a center of attention kind of person. But the desire to enter into a relationship with the Lord is more pulling than her shyness, right? So we're appreciative of that, Ann. Ann will be down here. Her mom and dad will be down here with her. We'll give her a little bit of backup as you guys congratulate her. But what I want to do is I first want to present Ann to be a member of Dallasburg Baptist Church. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed say no. Better not say no. Okay, no one says no. And we will be having a baptism. We've got a couple baptisms ready to happen. Super exciting. Right, so please come forward and say congratulations to Ann. You just stay right there, Ann. All right, you just stay there. Right, again, now just a reminder, we won't be having evening services, so you can spend time with whoever you want to spend time this afternoon. That's up to you. You want to spend time with me, let me know. Come on over. We'll spend time together. Another thing that I wanted to say, I should have said this at the very first, but I don't write a lot of these things down. I don't want it to be robotic. But I'm very thankful for two groups of people. I'm very thankful for all of our youth chaperones. I don't write your names down because I don't want to say your names and then forget somebody. I'm very thankful for all the chaperones who went to youth and their families who stayed behind to keep the lights on while they were away. I'm also very thankful for all of our GA chaperones who went down there and sweated. And I'm going to say it. I've learned this new saying that I'm going to say, where it was hotter than the hinges on the gates of hell down there, right? And they were down there serving your kids. They had taken time away from their family to go spend time with your family so they could learn about the Lord. So pray and be thankful for those individuals. They are very important to every church, and we are very blessed to have them here at Dallasburg Baptist Church. All right? Brad, you close in prayer? Thank you.